You know, I'm not going to disagree with you at all. And I think that the senator made a valid observation. But I also want to tell you, though, that over time, I have heard many complaints about how bills not only before the Senate, but also before the House of Assembly. It really is interesting to hear you speak so strongly on this matter, which you should. But a little bit of consistency is required here, because when on previous occasions there were complaints in the House of Assembly about late notice and that sort of thing, you didn't issue one word. I have not heard you say anything about it. You know how bad it is for Barbados now, but you didn't know how bad it was then. I want to be consistent on it, and I'll say to you that across the board, that is one of the things that you want to have an improvement in. And it is not good enough to complain about it when you're in opposition, but when you're in government, to go and do something else. Now, one understands that there may be a rush to get things done and put things in place and all of that. But if you've made an error, and as a consequence of that, it turns out that you have taken the matter to Parliament late, or you've given people short notice, then you have to abide by that criticism. But you should have been speaking about this a long time ago when you were silent. Are you still there?
Yeah, but I'm waiting on you.
Yes, tell me.
I'm waiting until you finish.
I'm finished.
Now, let me say to you that I have listened to the Senate looking at bills that were sent in during the last regime. Even the lawyer gentleman for the opposition. And those bills were not passed. They were sent back to be corrected.
But you are sticking with the Senate, and I'm saying to you that it was even more outrageous to have bills go before the House of Assembly with the opposition complaining about it in that way.
Yeah, okay.
And that you never said a word.
Yeah, but now hear this. Now, we are looking... if you're going to present something late, and then, no matter what anybody says, there are flaws.
You see, you are responding to this the way people are trained to respond to questions from people interviewing them, rather than deal with the question that has been put on the table, the comment which has been made. You are sticking with what you have already said.
But here it is.
But you're not answering my question.
Yeah, but here it is. If the bills were late, they were not complaining that there were flaws in the bill. They were complaining that they got the bills late. But hear this, that when you go to the lower house and you are complaining about a bill, then it was not to be passed. It was passed, but they were not passed. It was not being passed with flaws in it. It was not being passed with flaws in it. Because then I am dealing with, you present something late. Pushing for it to be passed as a law, and the bill has flaws in it to be corrected.
So you would want us to believe that all the complaints that were made about previous bills that went before the House of Assembly, were all those bills were flawless?
But I didn't hear any of them.
One of the things I've learned in the last 20 years or so, 25 years, it is wonderful to listen to people who take positions on the basis of their party love and party loyalty. And to listen to them when their party in power, and to listen to them again when their party is in opposition. To see how they switch their mouths, the positions that they take. You just like me, you know, you're under scrutiny. Don't think that because you're a caller that you are in a less scrutinized position than the moderator, because people listen here to find out to what extent I'm going to come here on a daily basis to either defend the Democratic Labour Party or the Barbados Labour Party only on the basis of emotion rather than on the basis of what the facts put before us. Are you in the same position, especially as a regular caller? Remember that at all times.
Now, let me say to you, Mr. Ellis, here, I don't mind, in fact, when I am not criticized, I think that my contribution is not what it ought to be. But when I am criticized, I know that I am discussing something that people, that they, the particular person don't want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? I love to be challenged or be criticized because I know that I'm on the right track. See, because I mark you, people criticize you when they don't want you to expose what you are exposing. So when I'm not challenged, I think I have to examine myself because it means that I am slipping up. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, sir.
All right, thank you.
Here's one of the stories that you need to pay attention to, because in this country we criticize President Trump a lot because of his style and bad behavior. But while he's behaving like that, his base, which remains quite loyal, last rating I heard was that among his base, he has a rating of about 87%. But outside of the base, he continues to face some difficulties outside of that base. But according to the most recent data, that's how the Americans present, they say data, from the Department of Bureau and Labor Statistics, the unemployment rate in the United States has dropped to 3.8%, the lowest level of the 21st century. And even more impressively, the last time the U.S. had such a low unemployment rate prior to 2000 was the year 1969. These historic low levels of unemployment are no accident. They are a result of a set of policies put into place by the current administration and Congress that have tackled onerous regulations and high taxes. One key example being the passage of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which has brought financial relief to millions of small businesses and Americans across the country. The impressive job creation and unemployment statistics of the past year will be difficult to sustain because essentially everyone who wants a job now has a job. However, that doesn't mean economic advancement will stop. Instead, economic growth will shift from creating jobs and dropping the unemployment rate into raising wages, a phenomenon that occurs when the unemployment rate is so low and businesses have to compete for job candidates rather than the other way around. The economy is booming and small businesses are prospering. As long as current policy pursuits are maintained, the economic engine will continue to thrust forward at full power. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks, hello.
Good morning, Mr. Adams.
Yes, good morning.
How are you keeping your good self?
I'm well, and you?
Not too bad. Last week, during my conversation with you, I mentioned that the fourth time round for the election of a bishop would also aid in their law and with a divided church. Leave it as it may, my conversation with you is not on religion. The Reverend Gayoue has addressed it eloquently from London this morning. However, Mr. Ellis, I am on record as saying that this our country is filled with class distinction. This has come about due to the public inquiry at the Alexander School when a retired High Court judge said, after learning that the principal was fishing with his students, said to the principal of the school, "You are up here and there are down there," which brought me to say on another call-in program that we have justice for four different classes in this country. Justice for the rich and the poor, and justice for the white on the block. I was profoundly shaken by last Saturday's sudden sign of July the 20th, 2018. Innocent of charges, shock cases against us, which, in my mind, has undermined our police professionalism. As a layman, Mr. Ellis, it is believed that equity looks at the substance, not the fact. And one is innocent until proven guilty. However, in certain cases, no one would talk much in society if he knew how often he misunderstands others. My first favorite American president, before President Obama became my first choice, was quoted as to say, "Better to remain silent and be thought a fool, words attributed than to speak and to remove all doubt." Words attributed to Abraham Lincoln. I don't know if you like to add anything before I go further.
No, sir.
Okay, then. Well, what I would say, sir, in what I deem as a high-profile case, I think it should be the accused legal representative to call on the DPP instead of the suggestion coming from the accused. Mr. Ellis, sir, I can't recall ever seeing or hearing some people of social decorum dragged before the law court. Gone are days when legal decisions are held in boardrooms, cocktail parties, and social gatherings. I remember when you had the late Sir Frederick Smith on your call-in program as lawyer on call. I had put a question to him. Sir, can you explain to me what justice is based on? If it is based on law, truth, honesty, facts, or merit? His response, that justice is based on merit. That's my contribution, and enjoy your weekend, sir.
Thank you. You're on the air.
Morning, Mr. Ellis. I stand to be corrected, but from what I understand is that if a minister of finance mispronouncements in the House regarding any tax at all is actually validated for a maximum of 3 months, and then after that, it will have to be officially passed. I stand to be corrected, but that's what I understand. And that's why if a minister of finance say from, let's say, midnight tonight, such and such will be such and such, is actually put into law until the maximum of 3 months has passed. But I think the main issue here that the caller was trying to drive at and is that in opposition, politicians would quote-unquote curse other political parties for certain moves and promise better and a change and what's not. But then in this particular instance, less than 2 months into the term, you've basically gone against the same thing that you would have once criticized, in that when Ms. Tate and Mr. Franklin said that they received the notice on the weekend, right, to be debated the following Monday, they're saying that that's ridiculous. But I remember, and I could cast your mind back to 2016, on the week of May the 9th, Ms. Bradshaw, who was once the leader of opposition business in the lower house, and Ms. Motley, who was the leader of opposition, they criticized and castigated the government, and particularly Mr. Boyce, who was the leader of government business, for giving them notice of the no confidence motion to be debated on Sunday, which was Mother's Day. And what I think is unfair for you, Mr. Ellis, to say that you spoke specifically to him that he didn't criticize it then, but I remember myself, I came on the air and I said that he shouldn't have communicated with them, especially on Mother's Day, even though they might not be mothers, the fact is that they're women and they're ladies and they would obviously be in charge of functions on that day for mothers, as politicians usually do. And they thought that it was disrespectful then to communicate with them on Mother's Day. And they themselves criticized the government for the late notice of the bill. So they know for them to be the government, And in less than 2 months, they do the same thing that they accuse other people of doing. I think that's the main issue that the caller was trying to drive at. Anyhow, that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Down to brass tacks. Welcome to the program. Hello? You're on the air. Hello? Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Yes. This must say this is the first time I ever call on a call-in program.
No, what caused that?
But I have some concerns here. One of my main concerns is the constant employment, if I may call it, mm-hmm. of this constant criticism of, you know, the last government spending a lot of money, especially with wages and salaries being one of the chief issues. I've heard talk of trimming the workforce. Yeah, I'm wondering why so many retired persons are being employed.
Where?
Put at head of boards and so forth. No. Right? Because what I'm looking at is the sharp concern of money. I'm wondering, aren't there younger qualified persons that can do these things? And another thing I'm saying is that most of these persons I'm thinking are wealthy persons who are receiving the largest pensions from government, and yet they're being recalled to head boards to do certain jobs and so forth.
Okay.
Let's
go through how you would set about setting up a board, because there's a view that says, look, you want a blend of different skills.
Yes.
You want a blend of youth and experience.
Yeah.
If you're going to put somebody to chair a board, you're more likely to look for somebody who has had some experience.
Yeah.
Over the years. And that could put you in a position where you're going to end up with an older person. But there's another reason why you go about choosing people. As you well know, it is also about the politics. It is about somebody who, in your judgment, will follow the policy and implement the policy that you have articulated, as opposed to putting somebody there in the board who is going to obstruct your particular intention.
Yeah.
So when you take it all together, I think that is where you're going to see some more mature people. However, I do believe that there is a need to have a blend of people who may be 60-something, 70-something, and people who are in their 30s and their 40s, and even in some instances, people who are in their 20s, so that you can get a broad perspective of a broad perspective when it comes to analyzing what it is that is before the board. Now, I haven't been through this thing with any fine tooth comb to say to you that, and I know all these people on these boards. There are some names that you know and some that you don't.
Right. I've been hearing names called that we knew long time ago.
Yeah, but when the younger people are on the board, you don't know those people?
Right, but I'm saying what I'm looking at, that some of these people have retired for a long while, so they're up in their 70s and so. I've been paying attention. And as I say, some of them are receiving the biggest pension. Some of them still have their private.
But that's not the issue. The issue is not what they are receiving. You are looking at placing somebody on the board in the context of whether you want to put money in their pocket or not.
Well, not only.
That's not the issue.
Boards, but okay, I'm not only boards, but some of them are in ambassadors and so.
Ma'am, let me come
I'm
back to the.
The smaller people who need, not smaller in terms of poor, but who are qualified to do so. Yes, you need some experienced people that understand, but not people in the 70s and near 80s and so who really don't need it.
Listen, your criteria is wrong. Terribly wrong. Your criteria is on the, basis of need. This is not, as I say to you.
Need and ability to do the job.
This is not about need. This is about a person making a decision on the basis of whom they believe they can trust and who they believe has got the experience. This is not about whether I need to put you on a board to put money in your pocket.
Okay, I'm not saying it's only that, but right. I said what I'm saying and believe there are younger people who have all of that, the need, the ability, experience,
but
and
ma'am,
everything.
Ma'am, you can only be talking about who leads the board because you, when the names are announced with these boards, I cannot tell you, even as a media practitioner, that I know the ages of all the people on the board. What I may know the chairman of a board because that person has been prominent over the years. But they will have somebody in there who may be an accountant that or a lawyer that I've never really heard about them before. That person may be 30-something, 40-something. So before you go there, because I'm suggesting to you that you may be jumping off largely on who is heading the board, but you're not privy to all of the total makeup of the board so that you can say, well, it is only made up or largely made up of these elderly people. Because in many instances, it's a combination of the two.
So you are telling me that it is okay to have these elderly people chair the board?
As far as I'm concerned, I don't buy into age discrimination in Barbados. I feel, you see, there are people in other parts of the world who at 70 or even at 80 are still capable of bringing something to the table. They are still capable of giving advice.
I'm saying if there's a younger person who's capable, that person should be given the preference.
But I'm telling you that it is not just capability as you have identified it that a person will look at. There are other qualifications.
I know the political affiliation is very much a part of it. But
as I told you, you also look at it from a point of view of somebody that you can trust.
Right. I understand all of that.
Right. And you say, look, on the basis of what I know of this particular individual, they have the experience, they have the necessary qualifications, and that one of the critical qualifications is that this is a person whom I can trust, partly because you may know the person well, partly because you may know the person's political leanings well, and you will see them as somebody who will help to further your policies rather than hinder them.
But
I take your point.
You can't
agree.
Find someone in the 60s and under who have all of that?
Well, it depends upon the area. It all depends upon the area that you're looking at. I don't think that you should be looking at it from the point of view of saying, oh, well, this person is in need. So because this person is in need, they should be catapulted to leadership.
No, you're stressing the need, but I'm stressing all of the other things you mentioned as mm-hmm. well as need.
Okay.
But all of the other qualities of trust and thing would come into it.
Right. But, you know, underlying a lot of what I hear in the country is an age discrimination. And
no, I'm not age discriminating. I don't know.
Well, I would have heard a hint of that. Because the people who suffer from it worst of all are the women in this country who get discriminated against as soon as they hit age 50 sometimes even younger than that. I can't find a job anywhere in Barbados.
I'm not an age discriminator, but I'm still looking at people who have retired. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to bring them back when there's so other people that, I don't know. And some of them have retired for a long time. You know.
Yeah, but if they might have retired for a long time, but the person, because they've retired, that doesn't necessarily mean that they've stopped practicing in their area of strength. You know, because a lawyer, for instance, you know how many lawyers are practicing in this country into their 80s?
That's one of the points I'm looking at.
So they should go home?
If you are practicing in your 80s, you have your own practice. Right?
Yeah.
I know they're going long. You have your own practice. I know you're given another job.
A chairmanship of a board, you really think that pays a lot of money to be classified as another job?
If you're the executive chairman
of a place, the chief executive.
Nothing.
Yeah, but that's no large amount of money to be classified as another job. If you are the chief executive of the place, that's a different matter. But, you know, sitting on a board.
The way I look at it, I am not discriminating against it, but I'm looking at people who might not really need the extra, and there are people who need,
I told you from the very beginning, right? You were looking at need, and you tell me
need is part of it. I said I understand your trust and people who are able, but the need should come into it as well.
How old is the President of the United States?
I don't know. Past 70, I know.
You think he should be President of the United States on that?
No, for many other reasons. For many other reasons.
The President of the United States is 72 years, you know?
Oh, he looks more than that. Anyway, as we say, thank you for listening. I'm concerned, though. And among other things, I think, by the way, I'm not a party person.
I didn't hear partisanship coming through.
Right, but at the same time, let me say that I see right now we're paying much at this present government is looking out for. And I know I would get castigated for this, but the family, friends, rich and famous, I must say, see that.
Where?
Where the poor are called.
Where are you saying that? It's a good thing you aren't political.
Are called. No, I'm not political. I've never been. I don't think I would ever.
Yeah, but tell me where. I mean, if you, as I do with everybody else, you've seen evidence of the government looking after its own people?
Yes. And then, looking after its own people, those who are close. And as you say, some people given jobs to keep them quiet, the one that you spoke to earlier.
All right, but let me tell you something. Mahathir Mohamed is 93 years old and 22 days.
Yeah, I saw that.
Queen Elizabeth is 92 years and 102 days.
That. It doesn't mean we have to follow that. Our country is different.
Okay, all right.
And my concern, as I said, this is the first time I've ever called on a calling program. I was trying to send a text message, but I didn't get through. This is all because I am very concerned about people of Barbados and my country at large. This is the only reason why I called.
Okay,
everybody
ma'am.
Should be treated, you know, unfairly.
Well, everybody, there are different opinions, huh? And we need to respect those diverging views. Because you have that point of view, and if you're calling indeed for the first time, then it is important that you get the opportunity to share the view, because the leadership of Barbados requires that you get the input from different levels of the society. Okay? Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis. How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I'm okay. We are trying to change this country rod by rod. I have realized, though, since the guard has changed, that the public relations department for the waterworks has gone mute. I hope that is not because of the change of the guard. They were very informative, and I would hope they will continue in that manner.
Well, that's one of the things that you got to watch to see what happens there. I mean, there are some areas of government that, if they have worked well, I think Barbadians would hope that you would continue with them. The things that haven't worked well, you can discard them. But all too often, we find ourselves in an environment where people who might have been functioning well to the public, at least, are taken out of those positions. The replacements don't work as well.
Okay, I would hope that other institutions under the government would endorse that practice. And we like to criticize, but I want to take this opportunity to compliment a young lady at the sanitation department by the name of Ms. Beckles. I hope I remember the right name. I made a complaint about garbage collection, and she told me she would get it collected the same day. I didn't get any garbage collected, and I called her back the next day, and she explained to me that one or two of the employees on the sanitation truck took sick, and she will rectify the problem the same day, and it was rectified. I must compliment her on her good works, and I hope she keeps it up. Now, my next point. I travel the length and breadth of this country listening to the present Prime Minister talk about proper governance, accountability of her ministers to their constituencies, and so forth. rubbing shoulders. I hope that now that she is Prime Minister, she is not too busy to rub shoulders, one. Not too busy to show us proper governance, and don't fall in the same pattern that she criticized the previous government for doing. I am monitoring a situation at this time where an individual has been trying to reach a minister and a permanent secretary over a month. Have not been able to get any communications whatsoever. So, I am watching and I'm observing. I know that the Prime Minister makes herself available to her constituency at particular times. I would hope that that will trickle down to the entire cabinet. Do not be too busy for the persons who have put you in that position. We are out here are watching. We know the task before her is challenging, but at least we give her the opportunity to see if she can make a better change for this country. Thank you very much.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello, David?
Yes.
John Goddard.
Yes, Mr. Goddard.
I know I haven't heard you for a long time.
I haven't heard you for a long time.
That's what I meant, yes. We haven't spoken for a long time.
I expect I will hear a lot more from you in new times.
No, David. I am not kind of political thing. Not me, not political talk, Bozy.
Mm-hmm.
Two things I want to raise with you. I want to congratulate Professor Ian Buckfield, one of my former students, who has been promoted to the position of deputy principal of the Mona campus of the UV. He is a product of the much maligned St. George Secondary School. And you know, that school, despite what people say about it, has produced a number of outstanding students in this country and beyond. So I just want to big up Professor Ian Boxall today.
Well, let's join you in congratulating him.
Yes, thank you very much.